bless the Lord, who forgives all our sins. Jesus said, the first commandment is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. Let us confess our sins against God and our neighbor. Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through our Lord Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life. Amen. With you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Almighty Father, whose dear Son, on the night before he suffered, instituted the sacrament of his body and blood, mercifully grant that we may receive it thankfully in remembrance of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who in these holy mysteries gives us a pledge of eternal life, and who now lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
Please be seated for the reading.
A reading from the book of Exodus. The Lord said to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, "This month shall mark you the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year for you. Tell the whole congregation of Israel that on the 10th of this month they are to take a lamb for each family, a lamb for each household. If a household is too small for a whole lamb, it shall join its closest neighbor in obtaining one. The lamb shall be divided in proportion to the number of people who eat of it. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a year-old male. You may take it from the sheep or from the goats. You shall keep it until the 14th day of the month. Then the whole assembled congregation of Israel shall slaughter it at twilight. They shall take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and the lintel of the houses in which they eat it. They shall eat the lamb that same night. They shall eat it roasted over the fire with unleavened bread and bitter herbs. Do not eat any of it raw or boiled in water, but roasted over the fire, with its head, legs, and inner organs. You shall let none of it remain until the morning. Anything that remains until the morning, you shall burn. This is how you shall eat it: your loins girded, your sandals on your feet, and your staff in your hand. You shall eat it hurriedly. It is the Passover of the Lord. For I will pass through the land of Egypt that night, and I will strike down every firstborn in the land of Egypt, both human beings and animals. On all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgments. I am the Lord. The blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you live. When I see the blood, I will pass over you, and no plague shall destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. This day shall be a day of remembrance for you. You shall celebrate it as a festival to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall observe it as a perpetual ordinance. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The psalm shall be read in unison. I love the Lord because he has heard the voice of my supplication, because he has inclined his ear to me whenever I called upon him. How shall I repay the Lord for all the good things he has done for me? I will lift up the cup of salvation and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. Precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his servants. O Lord, I am your servant. I am your servant and the child of your handmaid. You have freed me from my bonds. I will offer you the sacrifice of thanksgiving and call upon the name of the Lord. I will fulfill my vows to the Lord in the presence of all his people. In the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem.
A reading from the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. I received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John. Now, before the festival of the Passover, Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart from this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The devil had already put it into the heart of Judas, son of Simon Iscariot, to betray him. And during supper, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, got up from the table, took off his outer robe, and tied a towel around himself. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel that was tied around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, "Lord, are you going to wash my feet?" Jesus answered, "You do not know now what I am doing, but later you will understand." Peter said to him, "You will never wash my feet." Jesus answered, "Unless I wash you, you have no share with me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." And Jesus said to him, "One who has bathed does not need to wash except for the feet, but is entirely clean. And you are clean, though not all of you." For he knew who was to betray him. For this reason he said, "Not all of you are clean." After he had washed their feet, had put on his robe, and had returned to the table, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for that is what I am. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example, that you also should do as I have done to you. Very truly, I tell you, servants are not greater than their master, nor are messengers greater than the one who sent them. If you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. For some, this evening is one of the most profound and deeply moving rituals of the church. It is also a dangerous night because this night asks something of us. We are moved because the washing of feet is both symbolic and real for us. The reality is that this ritual is intimate, and at its core is an essential truth that we know and feel. It is fundamentally an act of love that cannot be denied. That is why we are so drawn to it. That is why, paradoxically, we resist it. It is hard to love and be loved so unconditionally. Even so, here we are to do as Jesus commanded. So if I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash another's feet. We are here because we are willing to wash another's feet and to risk the grace and love that will flow from it. However, for a few moments, I want to focus on what Jesus said after the washing of the feet of his disciples. Jesus returns to the table and quietly asks the disciples, "Do you know what I have done to you?" Then he answers his own question, "I have set you an example." And then again, for the umpteenth time, he reminds the disciples that he is servant of all. As we see again, Jesus' teaching and deeds have a way of reversing convention. In the washing of the feet of his disciples, Jesus assumes the role of a slave. This is shocking to Peter and to the others, because they see him as Lord. Quite frankly, I think many of us have the same problem because we prefer to see Jesus as Lord and Savior. It's easier to see him as Lord, isn't it? His example of being a servant is hard. It's hard because it invites us into an intimacy with others that we would just as soon avoid and making sacrifices for them. But here is the dangerous part. The examples Jesus gives us demands conversion. And that conversion ask that we turn away from indifference and disbelief and move toward a true acceptance of Jesus as Savior, but more as servant and the Lord of our lives. And I'm not talking about religion per se. You see, religion runs the great risk of becoming a mask that we wear as we attempt to hide from the true encounter with Christ and with others. Our beautiful liturgies, our great music, our preaching and teaching can become ruses by which we avoid conversion. The ritual of this night might be the one exception, because of the intimacy of it. Conversion is dangerous and terrifying because it requires us to do things that we would rather not do. It demands that we release our stranglehold on the need to control, to acquire, and to exert power over others. Conversion calls us to strip away our need to be important or popular or powerful. Conversion requires us to face our sin and brokenness. Conversion means handing over, in the words of our Rite One Eucharistic prayer, ourselves, our souls, and bodies, utterly and completely to God, and to love one another. It is hard, to be sure. And one reason is that we have a tendency to live in our heads. When we spend all of our time in our heads, our faith is reduced to a set of intellectual propositions about God. No need to feel or experience a thing. We will find ourselves frustrated by the paradoxes of Scripture and our traditions, so we stop studying. We will likely grow weary of a prayer life that appears to be nothing more than talking to the air and quit trying to pray. We will probably continue to hide behind our religious practices out of habit or guilt. Or perhaps we will just walk away from the whole thing in a bout of frustration and cynicism and doubt. God must be experienced, not intellectualized. How do we do that? The most explicit teaching of Jesus about the poor and the oppressed occurs in Matthew's account of the Great Judgment. In summary, we learn that the blessed will inherit the kingdom if they show mercy. Jesus is saying that we will encounter him in each other, but also in those we wish to ignore, those we wish to dismiss or marginalize, the poor and the prisoners we do not wish to see. If, however, we pay attention to the servant in Christ and try to live out his example, we will be led to conversion. We will be led to see Christ in new ways, not merely in our religious practices, but in the faces of each other and in the ordinary day-to-day. You see, Jesus placed himself in the human condition and lived it fully. His actions and deeds were not miraculous or magical. He paid attention and involved himself with a degree of selflessness and love that is almost beyond comprehension. Jesus worked wonders not by his own power, but by the power of the Father. The Father that dwells in me does the work, Jesus said. And when Jesus prayed, he prayed not as the divine one who had authority as God, but as a man who walked obediently with God. We too can do the same. This is where we begin to experience God. We might start by looking into the eyes of the next homeless person or beggar we encounter on the street, rather than turning or looking away. We might listen attentively to the repetitive stories of the older folks in our lives, rather than tuning them out or turning them off. We might stop making excuses and offer our time and money and talents to those in need. We might visit a hospital to comfort the sick. It is a Christian imperative to care for others, particularly the poor. It is our mandate to act as Jesus did, to live his example and to love God and others unconditionally. And by this, everyone will know you are my disciple if you have love for one another. Amen.
Please stand. The Lord Jesus, after he had supped with his disciples and had washed their feet, said to them, "Do you know what I, your Lord and Master, have done to you? I have given you an example that you should do as I have done." I give you a new commandment. Love one another as I have loved you.
Peace is my last gift to you. My own peace I now leave with you. Peace which the world cannot give, I give to you.
By this shall the world know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another.
Thank you.
Almighty God, we come before you to pray for this world that you have made. Good Lord,
hear us.
For all who suffer, for the hungry, the sick, and those who are in pain, I invite you to speak the names of those in need aloud. Good Lord,
hear us.
For lasting peace throughout the world, that all human beings might come to respect and honor one another. Good Lord,
hear us.
For this planet, that we may learn to cultivate and value the resources that you have given us. Good Lord,
hear us.
For the church throughout the world, for the Episcopal Church in Florida, and for this cathedral, that we may welcome many people to your holy table. Good Lord,
hear us.
For those who have died, especially remember Joseph Davis, Basil Collins, Bob Falconetti. I also invite you to name those who have died.
Jacob.
Good Lord,
hear us.
For ourselves, our lives, our loved ones, that we may move mountains in service to you. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you for this time to worship, for those that we love, for all good gifts that you have given us, and for every breath that we take. I invite you to name your blessings aloud. Good Lord,
hear us.
We thank you, O Lord, for the beauty of the foot washing, for a chance to act out the love that you have for us and that we have for one another. Help us to live more and more into your great commandment, that we may love and serve one another to your glory. In Christ's name we pray.
Amen. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be always with you. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to our service this evening. Maundy Thursday is a very special night, and very special people come out on this night, and I welcome you. Thank you. Thank you for coming out tonight. As you will see, we will remember the Last Supper now and celebrate the Eucharist, and then you will see some people that you rarely ever see in front of the altar. The lights will dim, and as we remember how Jesus was captured and beaten, you will see that the entire altar is stripped of everything there. And this is done by our Sanctuary Guild. And they are secret, faithful people who work tirelessly to care for this beautiful church and make it as beautiful as it is. So please give thanks for their ministry as you see them. They'll be dressed in black and quietly removing everything from the sanctuary. And I hope that tonight you will join us in prayer as we watch throughout the night. There is a sign-up sheet near the kitchen door and near Ingram Lounge. If you'd like to pray in your homes or to pray, you can come in here to our chapel and pray. Jesus asked the disciples to stay awake with him. So tonight, all over the world, Christians will be staying awake and praying with Jesus. And tomorrow we have Stations of the Cross for children at 10 o'clock. We have a service from noon to 3, which is the 3 hours that Jesus hung on the cross. A Stations of the Cross at 5, and then an organ Stations of the Cross at 7 p.m. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Oh,
be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is our right to give thanks and praise.
It is right that we should give thanks to you, O Lord, Almighty Father and everlasting God, at all times and in all places. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who for our sins was lifted high upon the cross, that he might draw the whole world to himself, who by his suffering and death became the author of eternal salvation for all who put their trust in him. Therefore, we praise you and magnify your holy name with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven as we sing. Our God, for you created heaven and earth and made us in your own image. And in your tender mercy, you gave us your only Son, Jesus Christ, to take our nature upon him and to suffer death upon the cross for our redemption, a perfect sacrifice for the whole world. On the night that he was betrayed, he took bread. And when he had given thanks to you, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink this, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Therefore, Heavenly Father, with these your holy gifts, we now celebrate the memorial of your Son, remembering his death and resurrection as we await his coming again with great power and glory. Merciful Father, we ask you to bless and sanctify these gifts of bread and wine with your Holy Spirit, that they may be to us the body and blood of your dearly beloved Son, Jesus Christ. Accept our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving, O Lord, as we offer ourselves to you. Grant that all who partake of this holy communion may receive the most precious body and blood of your Son, Jesus Christ, and be filled with your grace. May we be made one body with him, that he may dwell in us and we in him. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, by him and with him and in him, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honor and glory are yours, Almighty Father. World without end.
Amen.
And now, as our Savior has taught us, we are bold to say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Not presume to come to this your table, O merciful Lord, trusting in our own righteousness, but in your manifold and great mercies. We are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs under your table, but you are the same Lord, whose property is always to have mercy. Grant us, therefore, gracious Lord, so to eat the flesh of your dear Son, Jesus Christ, and to drink his blood, that we may evermore dwell in him, and he in us. Amen. These are the gifts of God for you. You are the people of God. Take them in remembrance that Christ died for you, and feed on him in your hearts by faith with thanksgiving.
Thank you.
Almighty and ever-living God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of your Son and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now, Father, send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Lord. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. And now let us sing hymn number 171.
Thank you. They went to a place called Gethsemane. And Jesus said to his disciples, "Sit here while I pray." He took with him Peter and James and John and began to be distressed and agitated. And he said to them, "I am deeply grieved, even to death. Remain here and keep awake." And going a little farther, he threw himself on the ground and prayed that, if possible, the hour might pass from him. He said, "Abba, Father, for you all things are possible. Remove this cup from me, yet not what I want, but what you want." He came and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "Simon, are you asleep? Could you not keep awake 1 hour? Keep awake and pray that you may not come into the time of trial. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." And again he went away and prayed, saying the same words. And once more he came and found them sleeping, for their eyes were very heavy, and they did not know what to say to him. He came a third time and said to them, "Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Enough. The hour has come. The Son of Man is betrayed into the hands of sinners. Get up. Let us be going. See, my betrayer is at hand."